Well, hello and welcome back to Mystic Truth Radio. I am Elaine Reed Cole from Mystic Truth, and today, interesting subject. We are looking at the end of 2015 and moving into 2016. And the title for this show is Stepping Forward, Embracing the Future One Step at a Time. So today it's kind of a, tentative at best type subject. People get a little apprehensive, like, oh, we're now looking at another year, and what kind of changes can I make? And they start making promises to themselves and putting expectations upon themselves, when really what we're all looking for is some peace. Some peace, some contentment. We're looking to be happy. And what I have noticed dealing with people privately, because of course I do private sessions and stuff with people, is that quite often, especially around the holidays and looking at the new year, people are afraid to take a step forward. They're so afraid that they might make the same mistakes, or at least perceived mistakes, that they made the year before. So they start focusing on what went wrong. And so one of the things I'm here to tell you is that that is a surefire way. When you start focusing upon what went wrong, you're pretty much setting yourself up for that same strain of wrong to go wrong again. So you've all heard the saying of what you place your attention on gets your attention. And that is something that maybe just a bit today we can start to try to untangle that so that we don't repeat that kind of behavior. So if we look at linear time, which is what we live in the physical world. Linear time is something that is perceived. It is perceived that we have a beginning and that we have an end, and in between there, it's always moving from point A to point B, you know, beginning to end. This is a perceived behavior, but this way we can kind of keep it organized within our mind. So imagine that this timeline that we are on from beginning to end is a long pathway. And from the day that we are born, we are on this path, and we start traversing the path, moving forward inch by inch, step by step. And at some point along that path, you come across an obstacle. This obstacle, let's picture it as a great big huge boulder. And it appears as though there's no way to go left, no way to go right. You're just kind of stuck. Now, this boulder is representative of some type of stress factor in your life. It might be the death of a family member. It could be a job that you thought you were going to get and maybe you didn't get, just some type of disappointment or trauma that happened within your life. So here you are and you're stuck on your path because this big, huge boulder is in your way. Finally, after you've looked at this boulder, you've, you know, lamented about this boulder, you maybe have even cried over this boulder. At some point, you look at it and you go, oh, wait a minute. I have a rope here, and I can take this rope and I can throw it over the top of it, and it will hook to something on the other side. So maybe you've got, you know, one of those, like mountain climbers have those four-pronged hooks, you know, and you throw it up and over the boulder, and it hooks to something on the other side. Now you have set up this lifeline for yourself to be able to get over the boulder. So You stop your crying, you stop your lamenting, you've thrown this lifeline rope, and you begin to climb up and over the boulder, and you get to the other side of the boulder, back onto your path, and you begin walking again. Now, this we do so many different times in our life. A boulder is put in place for whatever reason it might be. It might be maybe you can't pay a bill or, you know, something that comes up. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's a tragedy, you know, that has happened from a storm, you know, weather, tsunamis, whatever, something that has come up that has placed trauma into your life. So we can rest assured that along this path that we call life, boulders are going to happen. However, you have been gifted this rope. Of course, now you've left that lifeline behind you. And you're walking forward and you're like, oh, thank God, I'm past that boulder. That's really awesome. And as you're walking, you start daydreaming. So you're walking the path of your life. Your mind is kind of wandering. And before you know it, you've thought about that boulder that you actually passed by so many times. You know, you've spent so much time thinking about it that now all of a sudden you're back in front of that exact same boulder. But wait a minute. You've already walked further down that path. So why is that exact same boulder, the exact same boulder, sitting right there in front of you? And it's because you focused upon it so much, so many times, continuing to lament over whatever it was that happened, that you brought it into being once again, that same exact boulder. As where that boulder should have been left behind you, it's behind you on the path. You've already passed by it. So why are you still looking at it? Okay, so this is some food for thought, is that, okay, I continue to think about it. I continue to be stuck upon this tragedy in my life. Again, let's just use, for instance, the death of a loved one and lamenting that loss over and over and over again. So each and every day, you recreate and you relive the trauma of losing that loved one over and over and over again. Same exact boulder, you're back in that same place, you're feeling the same way, and even though you've thrown a lifeline over it, you got a grip upon yourself, your mind brings you back in front of it each and every time, just like it's brand new. So every time you move over that boulder and you find yourself on your path again, you only go so far before you find yourself right back there again. So that's one of the things that can hold you back in your past, make it so that it's very confusing to move forward. Now, there's another thing that can actually happen with these boulders, these trauma boulders, is that you've got your lifeline, the boulder's in front of you, you throw that four-pronged hook thing over the top, you scramble up and over the top of it, and you say to yourself, that never happened. That boulder never happened. That's fine. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just, you know, that's it. I'm going to continue on my path here. What boulder? No boulder whatsoever. And you never take a look at it. You never examine it. You just keep on your way. So you're on your way, and before you know it, there's a brand new boulder in front of you. Not the same boulder as before. This boulder looks so very, very similar to the other boulder that you traversed over. Very similar. But once again, you're going to pay no mind to it whatsoever. You're just going to go over it and go on the other side. I'm not going to pay any attention to this whatsoever. I'm just going to keep on blindly moving forward. That's that. And so you do. And a short while along that path, another very similar boulder shows up over and over and over again along your path, this very similar looking boulder. And you keep saying to yourself, geez, I wonder why this continually happens to me. Why does this repeat? It's like a bad movie of like Groundhog Day or something where something repeats over and over and over again. So one is reliving the exact same thing over and over again. That's the place where you keep going back into the past and you find yourself in the exact same place. And funny, but the other one really kind of puts you in the exact same place too. And that is ignoring the boulders that are placed in front of you. So what do you do with this scenario? How do you actually traverse the path and leave the past boulders in the past? And that is to be able to take a look at it and then find the PowerPoint. A PowerPoint will always come shortly after a trauma. This is where we can use the, make lemonade out of lemons. It's that kind of thinking. It's the optimism. How am I going to make something good out of what has transpired that isn't good? We hear about people who maybe their son died from a drunk driving accident. And then you find that the mother goes and, becomes a supporter for Mothers Against Drunk Driving and turns it around and, it becomes a fundraising type thing and they help other people to not go through what they have gone through. That is turning around and making lemonade out of lemons. So that's what we want to do when we have some type of trauma in our life, is to find the point right afterwards that your gut instinct says, okay, now what can I do? Now how can I make this better? Now, how can I let the sun shine in my life once again? As soon as you can start doing that and find some silver lining, then as you begin to traverse your path again, you'll find that it's not the exact same boulder that shows up. It's not so similar to the one before. It may show up, but now it's smaller. Maybe now there's a clearing on either side of it. Maybe now you've found a different way over that rock, over that boulder. Maybe you have sprung wings and you can fly over it. In my shamanic studies, there was a practice that we, did, and we weren't told how to go about it at the very beginning, and it was to do with smashing rocks and kind of like a Pac-Man type game. And so these boulders would come down. You had to imagine it. You journeyed. You imagined that, these crashing rocks would come down and they would get you. So it was a mind game. And how would you actually be able to traverse, just like what we're talking about on this path, how would we traverse this terrain and not get smashed, not get killed? And it had to do with expanding your mind to a point where you believed that the impossible was possible. So I want to say that again. You had to believe that what was perceived that was impossible was actually possible. You had to imagine a different way. So in this shamanic training, you actually literally could sprout wings and be able to fly above anything that was going wrong, you know, anything that put you within danger. Some people imagined helpers that would come, spirit guides that would actually shield them and protect them from rocks that were coming crashing down. Some developed powers to be able to see those rocks before they were going to fall and zap them and get rid of them. So it was very much creating a different sense of reality. And that's really kind of what we want to try to do and bring into this reality, is to create a new way of thinking, a new way of doing, and be able to look at what has gone before in our lives and what can we glean out of it that is actually something that's valuable that we have to take along on the path that is this life. So everything that we are faced with is an opportunity to learn and an opportunity to apply something new. It doesn't mean that you won't have apprehension while you're doing it. More than likely, you will have apprehension. You will be maybe a touch of anxiety into this new way of thinking and new way of doing. So how do we do this? To change anything, you must change at least one. So let me say that again. To change anything, you must change at least one thing. So to change anything in your life, you must change at least one thing. So take a look at your life and your routine. Everybody always has a routine. Maybe it's you get up in the morning and for me, I'll use my routine. I get up in the morning and I say thank you to God and I, you know, say hello to everybody in my house, including my pets, and, you know, have a heart filled with gratitude and pour a cup of coffee and go about prayers for the morning. Whatever your routine might be, and it's not that it's right or that it's wrong for anybody, it's just it's your routine. You get up and, you know, maybe you hop right into the shower and then you pick out your clothes and then, you know, you get dressed and you walk out the door and you go to work. And maybe you put a certain tape in the tape. Nobody uses tape anymore. Maybe you put a certain song on the radio in your car. You know, you're listening to your iTunes or something. And it's the same way. You know, same song, same artist or something, and you begin to drive your way to work. The thing that I want you to try is to change that up a little bit. And this may seem really, really small, but it can actually have a very large impact. So say you get up in the morning and your first thing that you did was that you would get in the shower. Well, I'm going to suggest that maybe you get up first, make a cup of coffee, if you drink coffee or whatever, and then take 5 minutes for just thoughts about gratitude. It's a simple thing, 5 minutes, that's it. That's all you have to do is just have a mind filled with gratitude. Then go ahead and take your shower, get dressed, get ready for work, and, you know, go out and get in your car. The next thing is change the song. if it's the same artist that you've been listening to over and over again, how about a different song? How about no music at all? Just a thought. Just something that changes it. And then you pull out of your driveway, and generally you always turn right. But there is a different way that you can go if you turn left. So change up the route that you take to actually get to work every day. Factor in your time, but make it something so that it's a little bit different. A little bit different even leaving 10 minutes earlier, which would mean getting up 10 minutes earlier. And then, you know, then you have that 10 minutes to actually maybe take a little bit more of a leisurely drive on your way to work. Now, another small step that you can take as you are driving to work is to picture your day and play it out in your head as you're driving. Picture your day running smoothly. Picture that everybody around you is in a relatively good mood. People smiled. You could actually hear some laughter. And that clients or customers or whoever that you have to interact with during the daytime is kind. And just picture that. And really live that and feel how it feels to actually experience a day like that as you see it in your imagination, as it plays out. Because remember, what you focus upon gets your focus. So I always tell people, imagine, create, and inspire. And this is how we manifest. This is how we bring things into our life. So imagine that your day goes nice and smooth like that. And that's as far as I want you to go at the very beginning. Just imagine a great day. And then start to make that your routine of getting up, changing one thing. So maybe now you get up and the first thing you do is you put on some music that makes you smile and makes you happy. And then maybe you get into the shower and maybe now you want to sing in the shower because, you know, well, nobody's going to hear you anyhow. And why not have a voice? And it sounds happy. Even if you can't sing well, it doesn't matter. You know, you're voicing this tune. So now you've shaken up your routine just a little bit more. Maybe you haven't allowed yourself to ever have breakfast in the morning. But now you're getting up like 10 minutes earlier. You're in a good mood. You're actually moving a little bit. You're listening to some happy music. You're burning a little bit of calories while you're singing there in the shower, so it's time to eat something in the morning, something that is considered like a superfood, which means, you know, like organic fruit or, you know, anything that's actually really good for your body, good for your brain, good for your mind. Think healthy. I'm not talking donuts here, people, okay? I'm talking something that's good that will fuel your body, and we're not going to get into foods right now. Just you know what's good and you know what's not good, so I don't have to tell you that. So now you're fueling your body, and you're starting to notice that with each and every day, as you're throwing something new in there, and you're picturing your day being filled with people who are kind and maybe laughing and being nice and all that, is that your mood is better. Your mood. Even if you haven't actually seen it happening in the physical reality, in the non-reality, which is what shamans will call it, the non-reality, which is the it's almost like a parallel reality to what we exist in the physical. So, but you start to see that you're feeling better. And what you are feeling is a great sense of optimism. And what you're feeling is akin to, I'm happy. I am actually starting to feel happy. I am really looking forward to my day because I know that the possibility of this day holds the fact that I will interact with people who are kind. And then as you feel that you will meet people who are kind, you find that you yourself are kinder. And as you are kinder, that is what you generate out there, and that is what you begin to get back. And it all starts with changing one thing. So when you want to change something, change at least one thing. Shake it up. Use your imagination. What can I do that's a little bit differently? And, you know, that whole realm of possibilities, it's so wide open. Does it mean, you know, maybe you get up even earlier and you go for a walk? Yeah. Or whatever. Maybe you get up and you sit down at your keyboard and you begin to place your thoughts into your computer. I'd say typewriter, but nobody has those anymore. So, you know, place them into your computer. Begin writing a blog. Begin inspiring yourself so that you can begin to inspire others and share it. When you start feeling good, you want to share it with others. That's a key point here, too, as far as changing what has transpired from the past into something that is better in the future, is that as we begin to share those slight increments of things getting better, and we share those thoughts and those ideas with other people, then things around us begin to look brighter. People around us start to be better. You know, it's that part of inspiring. So inspire equals in spirit. So when you are a truly inspired person, you are in spirit. You are communing with spirit. And spirit helps to guide you to make the best out of this life, this reality, that you possibly can. So it starts with imagining. Imagine. As you imagine, form follows thought. So you imagine it better. It begins to create itself as better. And as it is better, you are inspired to do even more so of it. Imagine, create, inspire. Now, have you ever noticed how you feel around someone who is pessimistic? Who, with every time you come up with an idea or somebody else presents an idea, really, all they do is tell you all the downfalls of that thought, of that idea. And how do you feel around that person? So that's something that is really good to check in yourself, is that, you know, are you a Susie Sunshine or a down dog kind of grumpy old person? And obviously, people like to be around the person who is optimistic, the person who lifts your spirits just by being around them. Now, here is something where it's really kind of important for you to actually wrap your head around, is that when you want to do something, do not look for everybody else's approval, because then you're always going to have disappointment with it. There is always going to be the naysayers. There's always going to be somebody who, for whatever reason, shoots down your idea, who just doesn't support you in your way of thinking. And is that the most important thing for you, is their approval? Because if so, then you're really kind of like a puppet on a string, and you are not the master of your own creation. You know, you're a puppet, and somebody is pulling your strings, and somebody is telling you what to do. So a self-actualized person is someone who dares to try something new. They are optimistic about it, and so long it does them no harm or anyone around them is not harmed, then why not try it? And that's what I say. You know, if, so I tried. Maybe I failed. Maybe I succeeded. But what if you didn't try? What if you could have been the best tap dancer in the whole wide world, but somebody said, oh, you have two left feet, so, you know, you really shouldn't try that, and you never tried. And that whole gift of being the best tap dancer in the whole wide world was never realized because you allowed somebody to steal that dream away from you. So again, if you are passionate about something, if you get an idea and this does no harm to yourself or to others, then why not try it? Why not try? I just want you to ponder on that. Why not try? What's it going to hurt? And, you know, the whole saying, if at first you don't succeed, then try again. Well, yeah. That's how great people accomplish things. You know, they actually get used to, or they, you know, turn their eyes away from the rejection and then say, no, this is actually a good idea. This is something very good. So this is my passion, and they are just driven to do this. They're driven. They can't help it. They must do it. It's like they must breathe. They must do this thing. And so they do. They say, you know, the biggest regrets when somebody is on their deathbed is not having lived life to the fullest. And usually they'll name off things like, I didn't dare do blah, blah, blah. Well, why not dare? You know, sometimes people say, geez, well, on my bucket list, I wanted to jump out of an airplane. Well, you know, if that's on your bucket list, why not do it? Yeah, in that case, you might hurt yourself, but, you know, people do it all the time. They jump out of an airplane. That one happens to not be on my bucket list. I have no needs or desires to jump out of a plane. Don't want to. It's okay. There are an awful lot of things in my life, though, that I do want to accomplish. And the thing that I don't want to do is to die with my song still inside of me. And that's what I want to encourage everybody out there to do. What is your song? What makes you sing? What makes your soul rise up and just, you know, and it's happy? What's your passion? And if there's a way that you thought you were going to express that passion and that particular way is not going to work for you, then find another way. So I will use myself as an example. In my life, I have always been an artistic person ever since, you know, day one. I have always painted and drawn and beautified things. It's just, that's what I did. I created. And at this stage, this particular stage in my life, I am actually legally blind. it happened, it came about. It's, I believe, just at this stage, but it doesn't mean that I'm any less creative. You work your way around being able to express yourself in a different way. Hence, I am here on Mystic Truth Radio, and I am painting pictures with my words. I am expressing myself in a different way. And hopefully, I'm helping to still beautify things. So that's one way to do it. People say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And wow, as long as you're looking at everything that you can't do, you will be able to do nothing. How about taking a look at what you can do? How about finding a way of, I think I can. It's the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And you try one thing. To change anything, you change. You must change at least one thing. Dare to be different. Dare to break your routine. Dare to try. Because again, who's it going to hurt? And again, if you are totally basing everything out there on the expression of somebody else as far as, you know, their approval or their disapproval, you will always be disappointed. How about accepting yourself? How about saying, I think I can do that and I'm going to give it my best shot? That's the whole thing, too, is when you try something, give it your best. If you put out something that is, I'll say it, half-assed, if you put out something that is half-assed, that's exactly what you're going to get back, is something that is only half-fulfilling. But if you put your all into something, this is my best and this is what I can do, then eventually that pays off. This was my best. And be proud of your best, whether anybody else recognizes your best or not. So many different artists have not lived to see their success. This is very true. It's just a fact. You know, they were starving artists as they were, you know, moving through life. And then after they perish, you know, after they leave the physical world, now their stuff is worth millions of dollars, and they never saw that come about. Okay, does that mean that they shouldn't have painted? No, of course not. Of course not. We can use Moses on this one too. Moses, who was leading his people to the promised land, and he was told ahead of time by, you know, spirit that he would not be there to see them actually make their way all the way to the promised land. Does that mean he should have stopped? I don't think so. It would have changed the course of history. And, you know, aren't we happy that Moses continued on his journey and egged people on to, you know, continue, whether I'm here or not here, move to the promised land. That's what I want to do for all of you people, is to encourage you to move to your promised land. Look at 2016 or any new year, even if you're listening to this, you know, not this particular year itself, but another new year, or maybe you're starting and marking a new time in your life, because this doesn't have to go according to dates. This can just be any time in your life when you find yourself starting brand new. Go through those times that are the trauma points. Look for your PowerPoint that is going to come shortly after that. That's a lesson learned. That is a lesson applied to your life. And now make something better out of it. Be optimistic. You want to be that optimistic person who says, I can. Not the pessimistic person who continually says, I can't. say, I can, I will, I am. Ah, there's the words. Say, I am. So you can add on to that, I am successful. I am loved. I am wise. I am joyous. I am optimistic. As you say that, you make it so. The words I am is the name of God. I am. I am that. So you speak it, you co-create it, and it is. Continue that over and over again. Every single time that you say, I am, and you place something derogatory there, that is what you're creating. So if you turn around and you're constantly saying, I am sick, well, guess what? You're going to be sick. If you turn around and say, I am well, then you're going to find that your body starts to follow suit and you are creating wellness within your life. And that way you're also leaving room for miracles to happen. And that's what we want to do too. Miracles are bringing into creation the miraculous. And I will never say that miracles are impossible, because they're not. I have watched miracles left and right happen. So I always leave room for that happening, especially if I'm working with somebody who has gotten a terminal diagnosis. I will not reinforce that. We can certainly talk about death and the passing of time and all that, and we can talk about it, but I will not reinforce that ending time there, because miracles happen, and I do believe that. Very heartily, I do believe that, and I've watched it happen. So where else to go with this whole going into the new year? I guess the best words that I can leave you with is imagine, create, and inspire. Imagine, use your mind, see it, feel it, smell it. Be optimistic as you imagine. Know it. Create. Speak it out loud. Make sure you feel it as you are feeling it, as what you are emoting. It's what's coming out of you. This is how we create. This is how we bring particles together. And we create it into the material world. And the only way to be able to do that is when we are in spirit and we know that we are perfect co-creators. We are part of God. God is part of us. Inspire. All right. Happy 2016 to everyone here. Happy New Year. And for Mystic Truth Radio, I am Elaine Reed Cole, and you can connect with me on Facebook under Mystic Truth Radio. You can also go to my website, www.thewingedmystic.com. All right, Happy New Year, everyone. Blessed be.